that time again. You know him, you love him. Hopefully you love me too. It's Wireless Wednesday with Rick and Mitch, and kind of a belated episode this week, but we're getting one out to you before the week is over. And Mitch, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule and doing this with me.
I've missed you, Rick. It's been too long. We've been like more than a full week apart. How are you?
I'm good. We're like two ships passing in the night, and we just kind of didn't see each other for a little bit there. But we're back, and we'll be seeing each other soon, I'm sure.
Back when I was working from 2 to 6 a.m., that was the story for me and my wife. We were like two ships passing in the night.
Well, at least you didn't sink. But there's, even though it's football season's over, we really haven't got started with the Major League Baseball season. There's really a lot going on in sports, and some stuff maybe on the periphery of sports as well. So we're going to kind of talk about that this week.
You were right around it down in Delray Beach, Florida, there for the annual tennis tournament there. The venue's awesome right there on Atlantic in downtown Delray Beach. And there's all kinds of great shops and restaurants and bars all down there. You're hobnobbing down there, Rick.
Yeah, this was the 25th anniversary, believe it or not, of that tournament.
Is that
and
right?
It had a couple different sites. It used to be held in Coral Springs, and then it was held in Boca, and now it's found a home right in the heart of Delray Beach, which is a cool little beach town there, near Boca and in between the Palm Beach County area. I was really impressed, and even though I stubbed my toe and had to go to the doctor with an infected toe after walking around on it for 4 days.
Oh, it got infected?
I'm on antibiotics still, and the swelling is almost healed because I have to play in a tennis event next week. So I've been going for treatment and getting this thing healed. But I was impressed. I know you've been down there to Delray Beach, Mitch, and it was a fun experience and a great little tournament down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. My best friend, he lived down there. Then he moved up to North Carolina, but the tennis tournament there, again, I talk about that venue right in downtown, for Y2K, I was down there with a bunch of other people. It was really very cool, holiday spirit down there, but I would love to be down there for one of these tennis tournaments, although this one, Bernard Tomic, as I guess he often does, but I mean, made news again with just his blatant tanking in one of his matches, and he wasn't the only one. You were there.
Yeah, I was there early in the week, and yeah, he caught some flack, and then another guy, Adrian Manarino, a French player.
Like that name.
He had a problem in his singles match, and actually I saw his doubles match where he was on the court, but he was barely there, if you know what I mean. It was, even his partner was looking at him like laughing, like, what are we doing out here? So he couldn't get off the court fast enough for some reason. It's really a shame because there's some young players coming up that are trying to get spots in these tournaments, and then there's some veterans that are just, they play every week, but you can't be mentally tough or there every week. And now some of these guys just kind of check out of matches after they lose the first set, and it's really bad for the fans. It's bad for the tournament. It's bad for tennis in general, and I hate to see it.
Hey, I remember back, what was it, the old Masters tournament that would end the year, and they used to have it at Madison Square Garden, and I think it was Yvonne Lendl who tanked a match so he would have the other side of the draw, something like that, and McEnroe called him out. Those were the good old days.
Yeah, and it's too bad because losing a first set in tennis, you're not out of the match yet. A new set starts over. You're kind of starting over fresh. And guys like Jimmy Connors and McEnroe to some extent, and guys like Guillermo Vilas and to throw out a name, these guys would make their mark coming back after losing a first set and winning a thrilling match. And we're kind of now being cheated out of that a little bit by some of these guys. I don't know if it's because the money's gotten so big. These guys are playing so many weeks in a row. The season's so long. I can't give you the exact reason for it, but it's kind of a black eye on tennis. You see it actually maybe more in the men's sport than in the women's game, but I guess it's all around. And I'm sure the tours are going to look into this, and I don't know, fining does it or suspending, but some changes maybe have to be made.
Yeah, suspension. I mean, 6 months, and I think guys would cut something like that out. Potential to lose 6 months' worth of opportunity to try and make some money. They make a lot of money, no doubt about that. Well, if they make a lot of money, then you got to hit them in the pocketbook where it's really worth it instead of just a slap on the wrist. So, but it's been around, so it's not anything that's new, but this was just so blatant it stuck out for me, and I knew that you were at that tournament. I also saw that you checked out some spring training.
Yeah, I did a couple stories on, I knew a little bit about it, but until you're there, you don't realize, you know, West Palm Beach used to be the Braves spring training site for years and years, and it was kind of a dilapidated, not real well taken care of spring training site. Well, they cleared out a landfill in West Palm Beach and have built a beautiful, modern, huge spring training site that's shared by the Nationals and the Astros. So the Astros have one side of it, the Nationals have the other. And it just really is close access for the fans. They have a beautiful stadium that the teams will share to play the games in. But, you know, practice fields that are the exact dimensions of the ballparks in Washington and Houston. They thought of everything, all sorts of technology. And it was just great to see them making use of an area that was kind of downtrodden, like being an old landfill, and turning it into a spring training site that the fans love.
Yeah, you know, the evolvement of spring training, especially in Florida, the way it's kind of gone, you know, teams were down there at the beginning as far as South Florida, and then Central Florida was always like a mecca. And then they, you know, they were kind of moving along upper coasts. And now all of a sudden the Braves are one of the lone teams that are in North Central Florida. That's why they're looking, you know, for a spring training home that's closer to pretty much everybody else, because they have to travel just about more than anybody else. But I haven't been down yet for this spring, but hopefully I might be able to check it out before they come back up here, you know, for the start of the season. But, I'm going to tell you what, Rick, I'm pretty high on the Braves, just in the respect that I think they put out a solid lineup there now on an everyday basis. They picked up Brandon Phillips here in the offseason. You know, they got a full season of Dansby Swanson, a full season of Matt Kemp. Markakis has been very good for a couple of years. Inciarte sticks out for me. Hopefully Freeman could stay healthy. I think they've got a solid enough lineup that it's all going to come down to the pitching staff for the Braves, starters and relievers.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I was actually talking with some of the scouts, a couple of the media members down there, about the Braves, and they said a couple of the guys were pretty high. They said they wouldn't be surprised the Braves to win 80 to 82 games this year, and I think that's maybe aiming a little high, but I think if they see the development in players and kind of things coming together, maybe that's possible. And I think that's maybe with the new stadium opening, that's maybe what the Braves brass is looking for, improvement and some stability and some players developing.
I think that's, you know, a solid goal is, look, they're all tell you, you know, their goal is to win the division, and it should be that. That's why you're playing. You're playing to win, and you try to win, you know, first and foremost your division title. But 500 is probably a more reachable goal for them. If they get really good pitching, you know, Tehran still to me hasn't proven that he's that true shutdown ace at the top of your pitching rotation. I mean, they've got a, you know, they brought in some oldies but goodies, Cologne and Dickey, and they're taking a chance on Jaime Garcia. Mike Foltynewicz is the one, you know, young guy that right now is, I guess, you know, penciled into that five spot in the rotation. But I think they're going to score runs, and defensively, they're pretty good. I think certainly could be a lot worse, and we've seen worse from the Braves in the past defensively. I think it's going to come down to that pitching staff and whether or not they're able to, you know, keep teams to, you know, three runs a game, you know, three, no more than four. You know, you're getting into territory where, you know, you're having to really outslug teams, and I don't know if the Braves have the capability of doing that, although Kemp can go deep. Garcia's, you know, shown a propensity to hit the long ball. Freeman is capable of going deep. So the Braves have a little bit more pop. And again, I think it's key. Full seasons out of Kemp and Swanson and Adam Brandon Phillips. I think the Braves have some good potential to at least go 500. And that would be a nice step in the right direction. But they're going to have to do better than that to keep people coming to that ballpark, Rick.
We'll see what this new ballpark yields in terms of offensive power and how friendly it is to hitters or pitchers as well. That's going to be something to watch. And